You have got to get out more. And so do I. Out of the cramped and often deforming online social media world into the real world that God actually created. Out of that little prison that I make in my mind and that can be accelerated by exposure to the wrong kind of stuff. And into the love and joy and peace of the kingdom of God, the fruit of the Spirit. We're looking at how we can leverage and use technology to help make us better persons and not be deformed by it. J. Kim, in his book, talks about the fruit of the Spirit as kind of the antidote to the way that we can be deformed by how particularly online technology, social media, enslavement to screens can misguide us. And today, I'm talking about peace, as Jay writes, and its opposite, contempt. So the invitation today is to live at peace, to be at peace with God and with yourself and with other people. And there is much online on screens that doesn't encourage this. Now, what's primarily needed is wisdom. Andy Crouch, who has written the book The Tech Wise Family, and you, I hope, have made a commitment to do things like, I will put my devices to bed 1 hour before I go to bed, and I wake up before my devices wake up, and 1 hour a day, 1 day a week. I just got back. I'll talk more about this, I think, in future episodes, but Nancy and I were in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, at Angola Prison. And it was a very amazing, very intense experience. One little piece of it was you don't get to bring your screens. You don't get to bring a phone along when you spend the day right there. And there's lots of good reasons for that. 1 day a week, no screens. 1 week a year. What we need to have that screens are generally pretty limited to give to us is wisdom. And here's what Andy writes. This is why in the Psalms and the Proverbs of the Hebrew Bible, the fool is the one who doesn't know God. You might know the statement of the Bible. The fool has said in his or her heart, there is no God. I will live as though I'm God. Doesn't really understand fellow human beings. Doesn't really know himself. A fool, Proverbs 18:2, takes no pleasure in understanding, but only in expressing personal opinions. What platform does that sound like? A fool can know a lot of things, but a fool doesn't really know what it is to be a person, how to act in a way that will serve the flourishing of persons, even in the end, her or his own flourishing. The fool may be well-educated, but the fool does not understand. And when the fool acts, the results sooner or later are hilarious, disastrous, in equal measure. Now, I'll come back to this, but what I want to talk about, as you're assessing, how much screen time do you spend, where do you go, and what are the results in your life? The question for today, this day, is, am I being led into greater peace? Peace with God, that Paul says we have through Jesus in Romans 5. God has no ill will towards you. You can be at peace with God. God has only good will towards you. Peace within myself, not being torn up by anxiety and fear and constant worry and preoccupation with what's going to happen next and how am I doing. And then genuine peace with other people. And to a large extent, we are not being led by our world to become makers of peace. Jay writes in his book about an author named Matt Taibbi. And Matt's written a book called Hate Incorporated, Hate Inc. And he writes about the 10 rules of hate that tend to dominate media, social media in our day. I will tell you what they are and then contrast them with the way of Jesus and the fruit of the Spirit, and particularly peace. 10 rules of hate. Rule number one, there's only two ideas. And behind this is the deeper, great problematic notion. There's only two groups, us versus them. Second rule is the two ideas are in permanent conflict. So instead of expanding my mind to the wisdom of God that can have a myriad way of approaching problems, I just get locked into it's us versus them, and somebody's right and somebody's wrong. And that can happen for me with my spouse. and I go there so easily, or for me and this other group of people? How are you doing on that one? Third rule of hate, hate people, not institutions. I remember years ago, I was being interviewed by somebody and he was saying, you know, you write about spiritual formation and I've been following online. There's a lot of people that don't like you. How do you deal with that? Well, that was kind of news to me. I had not been following that online and I'm kind of glad that I hadn't been. And then as years passed, a lot more stuff happened in my life and a lot more people didn't like me. And lest you think that's self-pitying, the reality I know is if a lot more people knew a lot more about me, a lot more people would not like me. That's just, there's a lot not to like. But what we're called on by God is not to dislike, not to hold people in contempt. But what hate will say, what contempt will tell you is, it's okay to hate people. It's okay to hold them in contempt. Rule number four, everything is someone else's fault. Matt writes, the overwhelming majority of controversial news stories involve simple partisan narratives cleaved quickly into hot button talking points. So it's just somebody else is to blame for this. I'm not encouraged to own or take responsibility myself. Rule number five, nothing is everyone's fault. And of course, in the scriptures, what we're taught is all have sinned. We're all in the same boat. We all share the basic universal human problems of ego, desire, self-will. We're all there. We all need help. We all need to help each other. But life online tends to obliterate this. Rule number six, root, don't think. There was a president years ago, and his favorite scripture was from the prophet Isaiah, where God says to his people, come, let us reason together. But in the race to the bottom of the brain stem, the need for careful thought gets replaced by just instinctive knee-jerk, good, bad, us, them. I don't have to work to understand. I don't have to consider complexity. I don't have to think. Number seven, rule number seven, no switching teams. Rich Mao, wonderful Christian writer and thinker, talked about when you read somebody, especially somebody you disagree with, apply what he called the hermeneutic of charity. Seek to understand it. Try to put it in the best possible light. If you're describing the case of someone that you disagree with politically or religiously or theologically, don't caricature their position. Actually try to state it in a way that they would want to have it put in the best case, the best light that you can put it in. And then we are practicing the golden rule. Rule number eight, the other side is literally Hitler. Jay writes in his book about what's sometimes called the online disinhibition effect. See, if I'm with you face-to-face, body-to-body, I got to look at you. I got to see how I hurt you with my words. I got to be prepared to listen to you and to receive and to be together. But online, I don't have to do those things. So it's kind of like people driving cars will feel the freedom to vent emotions that they would not do if they were body-to-body, face-to-face. The other side is literally Hitler. In the fight against Hitler, everything is permitted. Because if they're really bad, then I can give myself license to feel, think, do, say anything destructive about them. And then that leads to number 10, feel superior. Feel superior. Matt writes, this is generally how life works in much of social media and media. We are in the business of stoking audiences. We want them coming back. Anger is part of the rhetorical promise. So are feelings of righteousness and superiority. So those are the rules of hate. They govern a great deal of the online world, so I need to limit my exposure to it and be very aware of those parts of me that it will tend to feed because the powers are there. This is beyond just human ingenuity. There are spiritual forces at work. Now I want to come back to Andy Crouch's book where he talks about the need for wisdom. And he says two great things happen in families, relationships, friendship networks, hopefully in churches. For one, we discover what fools we are. That's a really good discovery to make. And oddly enough, it will lead to peace. No matter how big your house, it's not big enough to hide your foolishness from people who live with you day after day. We misunderstand each other. We misunderstand ourselves. We certainly misunderstand God when we remember Him at all. In our families, we see the consequences of all that misunderstanding. Our busyness, our laziness, our sullenness, our short tempers, our avoidance of conflict. Ouch. Anybody ready to say amen? Our boiling over conflicts? Living in a family is one long education in just how foolish we can be. And then a second amazing thing happens. Our foolishness is seen and forgiven and loved. There's a great British writer, G.K. Chesterton, and he puts it like this when he's talking about the secret of ordinary and happy marriage. A man and a woman cannot live together without having against each other a kind of everlasting joke. Each has discovered that the other is a fool. You might not want to share that today, but if you got a friend, if you got a roommate, if you got a spouse, partner, whatever, each has discovered the other is a fool, but a great fool. This largeness, this grossness and gorgeousness of folly is the thing which we all find out about those with whom we are in intimate contact, and it is the one enduring basis of affection and even respect. Somehow, in the discovery that we are great fools, we begin to develop wisdom. This happened to all of us as we grew up, from children who foolishly thought every toy belonged to us, to adults who are capable of empathy and self-sacrifice, and that's the way of wisdom, and that leads to peace. So striking, Paul says that Jesus is Himself our peace. Peace is not something that happens to us, it is someone who happens in us. And He has torn down in the cross, in His death, the dividing wall of hostility. All the hostility was placed on Him so that in Paul's day, the great us versus them, Jew versus Gentile, or whatever that is, gender, race, class, education. No, we are all great fools. So the word for today is peace. Get out more. Allow your mind to dwell in the thoughts and the life of Jesus and the world that God has created amidst the people that God loves, and bring peace to them. Man, people need peace from you today. Boy, do they need that. You got to get out more.
Thanks for joining us. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss any future teaching from John. You might also want to visit our website, becomenew.com, to access our full library of teaching or to sign up for the emails that go along with each video. Personally, my favorite way to receive these videos is by text. We will send you a text message every weekday morning with the title of that day's video and the link to the video. And that's it. You can just text the word BECOME to the number 855-888-0444 to receive those texts. If you have a prayer request, there is a group of us who meet every weekday, Monday through Friday, for 1 hour to pray for viewers just like yourself. You can send us your request at the number 855-888-0444 or email it to us at connect@becomenew.com. Remember, the will is transformed by experience, not merely information. So we hope you get out more. See you next time.